Our scripture lesson for today is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 5th chapter, select verses. Then Jesus came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you and a sibling were to try and enlist in the Navy, they would not permit you to serve on the same vessel. They would invoke what some have called the Sullivan Rule. You've probably heard the story of the 5 Sullivan brothers during World War II. In November of 1942, they enlisted in the Navy. And at their request, even though the Navy officials did not want to grant it at first, at their request, they wanted to all serve on the same vessel. And they were assigned to the USS Juno. Only 2 months later, in January, that vessel was hit by a Japanese torpedo. 4 of them died in that horrific attack. 1 survived in a raft. And according to others who were with him in the raft, he was driven insane by the loss of his 4 brothers and dove into the water, never to be seen again. Can you imagine the Navy official that had to go and show up at the house of that family and talk to the mother and father and deliver that horrific news that all 5 children, in 2 months' time, all 5 of these boys had died? The U.S. Navy and Department of Defense put into place a policy called the Sole Survivor Policy, which would never allow this again, even 2 from the same family to be in the same area. I've had people in congregations that I've served who have lost children to death and have said that there is nothing in life more painful than that, even when it's an adult child. Psychologists claim that inside of marriages, when the death of a child takes place, there is a polarizing effect on the 2 of them, and any potential or possible problems that already existed in the marriage are exaggerated and magnified by the death of a child, which is why we often think divorce is such a common occurrence after the death of a child. It tends to bring out and magnify those problems. We can only imagine the kind of grief and sadness and pain that Jairus and his wife were going through. First of all, to have watched their precious little girl have to deal with struggling with death on her deathbed, and then finally to hear the news that she had passed away. In order to make grief known to the local community, Jewish people would hire people to play flutes, recorders, outside of their house. Even the poorest family was almost required by societal laws to hire 1 mourner to sit outside of the house, typically a woman who was a professional crier, and would sit and just cry her eyes out on behalf of the family. And so our Lord has to now pass through this group of people who are expressing the grief for this poor mother and father. It reminds us of how death leaves a sting on us, as St. Paul calls it. Isn't that an interesting word, a sting? Even for those of us who are alive, and who knows, maybe won't have to face it for years to come. Death is a sting for us, he says. We know and understand life pretty well. We're living in the middle of it. We experience it every day. We enjoy it. Sometimes it can be difficult, granted. But we must never live in the fog of denial that this life we're in is going to just keep on going. You have had to stop your car for too many funeral processions. You have read too many obituaries. You have driven past too many cemeteries in your life to imagine that you're going to just keep on living. That's just not how it goes in this world. And death can come upon us very suddenly and extremely unexpectedly. The day that John F. Kennedy was assassinated in his motorcade, just seconds before this, Governor Conley's wife had just turned to him, Nellie Conley, and said to him, looking at all of the cheering crowds around him, "Mr. President, you certainly can't say that Dallas doesn't love you." And JFK's final words were, "That's obvious." Seconds later, he was gone. So death has the sting for us, the harsh reality of it, the pain that it and the scars that it leaves for us and in families. But now suddenly into the scene, we see the Lord of life himself step forward, the very one who brought all life into existence, very God of very God, by whom all things were made, without whom nothing was made that has been made. He now comes walking into this humble home. And we see and hear about in the three Gospels that record this, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all speak about his encounter with the mourners. And we're told that they ridiculed him and they laughed at him. Isn't that interesting? How we fallen people look at death in a completely different way than the way the Son of God would look at death. We are so limited and hemmed in by what we consider the natural order of things in this fallen world, that it's hard for our minds to even conceive past the grave, that anything could be stronger than that. They laughed at him. And even though we may now as Christians look at that and shake our heads a little bit, I think we would too. We oftentimes doubt what God has told us in his word too. But the Son of God, God himself, can call anything, whatever he wants. And the reason he can call death sleep, and the reason he can call anything he wants it to be, is because he alone can make it what he wants it to be. He can call jars of water wine. He can call a tempestuous sea calm. He can call a few fish and a few loaves of bread food for thousands. He can call the eyes of a blind man opened. And he now has shown us he can speak to the dead corpse of a little girl and call it alive, and call death nothing but sleep. Death had claimed her body, but the Lord of life took it back and repelled death and told it to give her up back up. Now, we know this as Christians, but we still live in fear of this. I sometimes think about us looking at our future death, the way maybe the children of Israel approached the Red Sea. As God parted it in front of them, imagine being back a ways in that multitude of people as they walk through. I think of children and teenagers going through that and the walls of water on each side. They could clearly see that God was doing something miraculous here, and yet I bet they still had trepidation and fear in their heart, while at the same time God in heaven smiled, knowing that he was going to bring them safely through this. That's how we are with our death. We still struggle with fears and trepidation because we want to go back and look at our death the way the world does. But God knows, because of the resurrection of his Son, he's going to bring you safely through that, just like taking a nap this afternoon. That's how he looks at it. And so God smiles when he senses any trepidation in our hearts over this. Our Lord Jesus lives in the certainty of the resurrection. And he invites you to live in the certainty of his resurrection and your own. He says to you, "I have come that you may have life and have that more abundantly." Listen to Luther's comments on this text. He says, about Jesus calling death sleep, "These words are so comforting that if they were for sale, we would be willing to sell everything to buy them. The fact that Jesus can change his eyesight to look at death like a sleep is an art that no other man possesses. So what does that mean for you in your life? It means this, that you can look at anything that's a problem in your health. You can look at anything in your future that makes you fear your death. You can look at anything that is lacking in your life, anything that's troubling you in your life, and you can say, I belong to the Lord, who with just one word can make all of this foolishness. Trust in him. Amen.